Good morning, everybody. Share Bina, part two.
Yes. Maybe this one.
I have the list. I didn't bring my notebook. You want me? Let me stop. We do a lot of praying. And unfortunately, I don't like to talk bad about people, so I'll talk about myself. I could say I waste a lot of time praying. Because if you're not praying properly, and it doesn't have the effect it could have or should have, so maybe do something else. Do chesed, learn, bikur cholim, do something else. But you're taking the time to, as we say subtly, to pray, to put your request before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we don't understand what we're doing, we don't do it properly, maybe we're wasting time. We're certainly not efficient. Efficient we're not. Efficient is doing the most you can do with the least amount of energy and the least amount of time. And I don't know about your tefillot. I know last week we had two ladies here who didn't stop till I was halfway through the shiur. So maybe they're a little better than us. But still, what you're doing, you have to understand, not only the words. When we read Selichot, especially this time of year, there's an Aramaic phrase or a little paragraph that says, Marana Debishmaya, our Master, our Lord in heaven. Lach mitchanina, we are saying tahanu, we're pleading with you. Kibar shivya dimitchanen nimare, like someone who's in captivity, who is pleading with the Master. And then he compares us to the rest of the world. Kulehon b'neshivya, anybody else who happens to be in captivity, the kaspamet parking, what do? You pay the fine and you go. In the old days when they used to kidnap people, you pay the ransom and you get out. And it was not uncommon for Yehudim to be abducted, and a ransom was paid by the people of the town to be released. And that's the derech. That's the way of the world. But we in Selichot say, the Amecha Yisrael, but your people Israel, b'tzlotin u'tachanunim. With prayer and supplication, we get out of prison. It's a very important image. We're in the prisons of our Yetzara. We're in the prisons of problems that we have. We're in the prison, some people, of health. We're in the prison, some people, marriage. Prison, some people have children that have problems. Some people have a prison that they can't have a child while in. There's all kinds of prisons. But we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be free. I want to be happy. I want to live life the right way. I'm in prison. How do we get out? There's no bribe. It's lutin u'tachanani. With prayer and with supplication. Now, when it comes to Teshuvah, which is this season, we have only 12 days left. Anybody want to make the sound for me? Woo! Only 12 days left. Less than 12. And we're going to go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're going to pray. Lunch is until 1:30, 2 o'clock. We're praying and praying. Start early, finish late. What are we doing? And what does it have to do with our Teshuvah? Because the real essence of this season is to stop who we were and create someone new who does things right. To become Ish, or in this crowd, Isha Acher. Somebody different. Because that's what Harambam says. When a person makes Teshuvah there, Isha Acher. It's not the person that was there yesterday. It's somebody new. But Harambam tells us there's problems with Teshuvah. It's not so easy. Not because you want to make Teshuvah, you can. It depends on what kind of sins you made. So if a person made sins of a certain type with a certain frequency or in a certain mood or attitude, it may fit into the category, which I'm not here to explain today, of those that part of the punishment sent is mon'im mimenu ha-teshuvah. Hashem holds back from that person the ability to make teshuvah. And that's a bad punishment. Even if the person wakes up and says, you know, I did wrong. I'd like to make teshuva. There's a whole list of sins brought by Harambam that monim. He says, Efshar shechita adam het gadol. A person can make great sin. Or hataim rabim. Or many sins. Ad shiten adin ifne dayan emet. Until Hashem makes a judgment, the true judge. Shiapiraon mizeh hote. That the thing he collects, the penalty that he collects from this particular sinner, al hataim elu on these sins, sha'asah b'tzono midato, that the person did, as we say, b'mezid, willingly and knowingly, she'mon'im mimenu hateshuva. Hashem holds back from that person the ability to make teshuva. And that's a horrible punishment. V'en mani hein lo reshut la'shuv minish'ol. They don't leave him able to return from his wickedness. For what purpose? Kedesh sheyamut, so that person will die, v'yovad b'chet'o sheyaseh. And he should be lost, I guess, wrapped in the sin that he made. Hu she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-yedei Yeshayahu, that's what the prophet said, hashmen lev ha'am hazeh. The hearts of this nation became fat, וכן הוא אומר, ויהיו מלאיבים וערכי אלוהים, ועזים בדבריו, מתחתים בנביאה, והתלות חמת השם בעמו, עד לאין מרפא. השם gets so angry כביכול, there's no solution, there's no remedy. מרפא זה רפואה. There's no medicine for this. כלומר, says הרמב״ם, that's to say, חטאו ברצונם, they made the sin willingly. והרבו לפשוע, and they did it a lot. Until they became liable to the degree that teshuvah, the ability to make teshuvah, is held back for them, from them, and that's the refuah of the sins. Anybody wants to review that, can't write down that quickly. Harambam, Hilchot Teshuvah, Perek Vav, Halakha Gimah. Today I'm going to say B'Shem Omro in the name of the Magid of Yerushalayim, Alav Hashalom, Alav Shvodron, a lot of ideas about Tefillah. And he asked a question. Shalom Shvodron is his name. He has several, the whole Magid series is based on that he was the Magid of Yerushalayim. He asked a question. What's going to be with these people? Hashem decided that there's a certain degree of sinner, you can't just make teshuvah because you want. You don't wake up one day and say, I want to go back. I want to be good. Because Hashem won't let you. Very similar to what happened to Paro after five Makot. Ha'im zeh nigzar dino she'em manichim l'shul m'shul? Is that true? En lo be'emet shum acharit v'tikvah? He asks, is there no hope at all? Can we say that no hope for anybody on this planet? And he says that Harambam himself answers the question. He says that David HaMelech in Tehillim pleads with Hashem. Horeni Hashem Darkecha. Hashem, show me your way. Kilomar, says Rambam, in Perush, Al Yimna'uni Hata'ai Derecha Emet. Don't allow my sins to prevent me from going on the true path. If I go on the right path, I'll know your name, I'll know how to behave. Tanuach ruchi la'asot chafatzecha. Allow my spirit to do what you want me to do. Don't let my sins hold me back from teshuvah. Elatiyeh harishud biyadi. This is Harambam explaining David HaMelech. Let me have the option. All he's asking for is the ability to make the choice. Ad she'echzor da'avim be'edah derech ha'amet. So Harambam himself explains David HaMelech is saying that David HaMelech felt, or he feared at least, that perhaps he fit in this category. What's the category? Somebody who can't do teshuvah. He was afraid maybe he made those sins. I can't imagine it, but David HaMelech felt possibly he did. And so he begged with Hashem, he prayed to Hashem, he sullied, he davened. What did he do? Don't make it happen. Let me have the option. So it seems to be that David HaMelech knew a secret. And Arambam is letting us know that secret. That the Tzaddikim don't pray only not to make sins. Don't hold me back from sins that might put me in that category of people who have a problem, they can't make teshuvah. But the Lashon of Arambam is, Al yigremu li chata'ai limon eni min ha-teshuvah ela tiyeh reshut lo yadi. What is he saying? I already made those sins. But I'm praying to you that it will be the effect of my prayers that the rule will be broken. Tefillah is the koach, David HaMelech believed, to break this halacha gimal of Perek Vav of Harambam. The halacha is you do these sins, can't win. David HaMelech says, I don't care. Tefillah is more powerful than that. What's the basis for this explanation? Arambam himself said, this is a gezar din. This is a decree. This is the way Hashem wants things to work. You make this kind of sin, this works. You make this kind of sin, that works. And when you get to this level and this quantity of repetition, nothing works anymore. Except David HaMelech knew that Borei Olam set up a thing called tefillah, and it works on any gezar din. As it says in the Gemara Berachot, when the Melech Hizkiah was told by the prophet Yeshaya, you're going to die. Tamut velotechiyah, he told him. You're going to die and you won't live. Not in this world or the next. You know what the king told him? Get out of here. It's translation, exactly how it's called, says it. Leave. Mikablani mi bet abi abba. I learned from my jiddo's house a tradition. Afilu cherev hadam unachat al tzavaro shel adam. Even if a sword is laying on the neck of a person ready to cut through, and it's a sharp sword, cherev hadam lo yimna adam min rachamim. A person should not hold back from rachamim, from praying. And he turned to the wall and he prayed, and the gezar din was broken in shamayim. Even though the prophet Yeshaya already publicized the gezar din, and he lived another 15 years. Tefillah works. David HaMelech knew it. And he said, whatever the gezar din was on Chizkiyah, Harambam is posek, tefillah even works on this gezar din, that if a person does certain sins, tefillah can work to open the door again. The door that's been locked can be unlocked with tefillah. So the principle we've learned, I like note takers, I got 100 of them here. You just have 2 or 3 in the crowd, you know. I've got to warn them, over here it's writing. What's the principle? That even though Dayan HaEmet, Hashem Himself, has ruled that there are certain sins that are done with a certain frequency or repetition, Shemon'im imena teshuvah, that they hold back teshuvah from a person, but if the person prays and screams and begs to Hashem from Kirot Libo, says the Gemara, from the walls of the heart, the inside of the heart, that I want, what's the prayer? Not get rid of the gezar din. I want to make teshuvah from my sins. It works. It's possible that even the halakha of Arambam can be broken. Tell you a little story from the Navi. We've all learned the story of Eliyahu Nabi on Har HaKarmel. He comes because Ahab and Izebel, Rishaim Ha'elu, they were chasing the Nabi'im, they were introducing Avodah Zarah to Am Yisrael, they were trying to kill Eliyahu Nabi, so he decides, let's have a test. We'll have a test. Let the Nabi Abal come, let me come, we'll go to Har HaKarmel, how do you do it outside the Beit HaMikdash? It's not allowed to bring, but the Gemara discusses it, but he sets up a test, we're going to put him as Bayach, You're going to pick a par, I'm going to pick a par. The pars will be identical to oxen. You're going to sing and dance and do whatever you do. I'll give you first crack. If the korban burns on the mizbeach, the baal is emet. But if you don't succeed and I do it, then Hashem is emet. So they go, they put the guy in the tunnel, the guy gets bitten by a snake, the guy dies, they're dancing a hullabalooing, they're trying, Eliyahu starts making fun of them. But guess what happened? The par didn't want to go with them. The oxen wouldn't move. So it says in Bamidbar Abba, HaPar shelachu nevi Abba lo ratza lalechet, didn't want to go. So what did it do? Patach pi v'diber. This ox opens his mouth and starts talking in front of everybody. Got thousands of people there, maybe millions. Who's it talking to? Eliyahu Navi. In front of who? All Am Yisrael came to see the contest. Nobody could move the ox until Eliyahu Navi had a little pilpul with his chavrutah, the ox. And he told him, listen, it's Kiddush Hashem, if you go, don't worry, you're fulfilling your purpose, it's going to come out. So the ox went. When the ox realized it's going to be Kiddush Hashem, he went. So everybody's watching. But it's not till later when Eliyahu Navi says, Anini Hashem, Anini, and the fire comes from heaven, that everybody starts fearing Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. So the questions that brought on this midrash is, wait a minute. They saw the ox talking to Eliyahu Navi. They saw the Arabi instructing the ox to go, and suddenly not go. All these guys pulling the ox wouldn't move like a donkey. The people didn't realize until after the Eliyahu Navi put the ox in the fire came that this is what Hashem was. Only after the fire came from heaven they screamed Hashem Elokim. It's very surprising. Why didn't, as soon as the ox opened his mouth and talked to Eliyahu, and then the ox listened to Eliyahu and went and jumped on the Mizbeach, why didn't everybody scream out Hashem Elokim then? I know I would have been pretty amazed. How about you? Rambam tells us, V'chein Yisrael b'mei Eliyahu, the people of Israel in the times of Eliyahu, because they made many sins. Mana me'otam hamarbim lifshoa teshuva. Hashem put them in this category of people who can't make teshuva. So even though they saw the miracle, and maybe they had in their mind they want to make teshuva, they couldn't do it. They were stuck. She'ne'emar, he quotes the pasuk, Ata sibot debam achoranit. You, Hashem, made their hearts turn backs on you. Manata mehem atishuvah, says the Rambam. So now we find out that this crowd of people, millions of people standing on Har HaKamel watching the show, are all in a category of people who cannot make teshuvah, and therefore, after they see the miracle, they did not, and yet 2 minutes later they made teshuvah. Is Harambam making a stira in his own halacha? Is he contradicting? He just told me, Kilomar, Manata Mehem, Hashem, you're holding them back. But Eliyahu Navi knew the secret. He stood on a mountain, he said, Aneni Hashem, Aneni. The Gemara says, why did he say Aneni twice? Once, so that they won't say I'm doing magic. So that when they realize that, they'll make teshuvah. Aneni, so they won't say it's manic. Aneni, so they'll make teshuvah. And his tefillah was strong enough to take millions of people out of the category of those who cannot make teshuvah to the ones who made teshuvah on that spot with a big kiddush Hashem. And we say throughout our selichot, Hashem Elokim, Hashem from that pasuk. Get me. No, manata mehem means in the situation that they're in, their status now, if you take a still photo of these people and you're able to look at their neshama and their ability of free choice and all, they can't make teshuvah. But if they pray for the ability to make the Shiva. We now have a different picture where Hashem takes away what's blocking them and makes the new picture a person who's able to make the Shiva if they do it. So there's a block, it's like a person being locked in a room. They're locked in a room, and so long as they're locked in a room, they can't go outside. They pray, please unlock the room. If they pray to unlock the room, they're not praying, I'm making teshuvah. Please unlock the room, and Hashem allows the room to be unlocked, they can leave the room. That's true, that's our lesson today. But only through one means, teshuvah. Only if you just start to try and make teshuvah, it won't work. Where another person who has hirhura teshuvah, a thought to make teshuvah, the process starts and it gets the atah d'shmaya. In other words, most of us in the room, I hope, are in a different category. And I hope I'm included with you, Tzadkaniyot. That we're in that category where if we decide we want to make teshuvah, we can. And in fact, once you decide, your first thought, hirhura teshuvah in your heart, gives you siyata d'shmaya to help you make teshuvah. That's the normal guy. But the other people that we're talking about were only brought up for one reason. To put a category, it looks like there's no hope, and tell you there is a hope. It's called tefillah. Point one today. Good. We're on track. Now, usually in the old days, they used to bring korbanot. Most people call them sacrifices, I call them offerings. But the basic idea of korbanot is karov, to become close to Hashem. A person who's far becomes karov, that's the word korban, kof resh bet. To bring you close to Hashem. Now, there are rules. There are rules when you bring a korban. Do you bring a korban for a shogeg, for a mizik? Well, if you made a sin by mistake, you could bring a korban chatat. Korban chatat, you could bring. If you did a sin by mizik, there's no korban. Different type of kapara, different type of punishment. You can't get out the regular way. Rabbeinu Yonah, not in Sharei Teshuvah, but in Pirkei Avot, he explains a very oft-used pasuk. Hashem sifatai tiftach u'yadi tiratecha. We all say it all day. That comes from a perek called Perek HaTeshuvah. If you open up Tehillim, Perek Nun Aleph, in the middle of that perek, David HaMelech was the one who said, Hashem sefatai tiftach u'fiyagit ratech, and he said it specifically in the perek that's known as the perek of Teshuvah. Because he speaks about his sin with Bathsheba, if there was a sin, maybe, maybe not, but whatever it is, that's the perek of Teshuvah. Rabbeinu Yonah gives us a big chidush. A korban is powerful. It can erase a sin. It can bring atonement kapara, but only for shogeg. Tefillah can get rid of the mezid. Even something done intentionally. Tefillah mechaperet afilo al mezid. What was David HaMelech saying? Says Rabbeinu Yonah. Ribono shel olam, Master of the Universe, Apapi shani mezid v'lo shogeg, even though I did intentional sins, not by mistake. Mikol makom ani mitpalel. In any event, I'm invoking the power of prayer. V'lachen haya David tzarich lagdim bakasha miyuchedet. So he had to come forth with a very special prayer, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Hashem sifatai tiftach. You have to open my mouth. Ufi agiti latecha. So now, we, due to the wisdom of Chazal, open our Shemoneh Esrei with that same pasuk. What are we saying? We should understand. Even though I did things that are wrong, Hashem, even though I knew they were wrong when I did them, and I did them, please accept my prayer. Millions of people praying, and we don't know this. We're asking Hashem to help us pray, to invoke the unbelievable power of prayer, to do more than what a korban could do, to wipe out a mezid. And prayer goes so far as to work to bring us to teshuvah.
You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was praying by Etchanan 515 prayers. And then Hashem tells him, Ravlach, stop, not one more. Why?
Because Hashem knew in His wisdom, if he prays number 516, that's the one going to break the camel's back, so to speak, and I'm going to have to let him into Eretz Yisrael, and my plan for history doesn't work if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael. So tell him, Ravlach, stop. You want to pray? Pray. That's something else. This subject is closed. Like when your mother tells you no more. You're not doing it, you're not getting it, you're not going to finish. Subject closed. Hashem Kaviyachol told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's enough. Why? Let him pray. You don't want to do it, you're Hashem. Hashem's sort of saying, prayer has the power, Kaviyachol, not really, but so to speak, to force my hand. In fact, we see another place. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Heref mimeni, Ashmid. He tells them, leave me alone, I'm going to destroy the people. Why does he have to tell them, leave me alone? Destroy the people anyhow. Hashem could do whatever he wants. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was praying at the time. And if he's praying, Kaviyachol, so to speak, Hashem's hands are tied, I can't do anything. Because the prayer is locking me up from doing what even I, Hashem, want to do. How potent is that? One time, after the class, we're going to pray. Oh, okay. And then lunch, and then another class. We squeeze it in between. How much time do we have? And we're thinking, oh my goodness, I still don't have shul for Hashanah. What am I going to do? The other one's thinking, my mother's house the first night, my husband's house the second night. No, but you know, really, we should do the other way because we should respect the husband, but all the girls are on the other side. Our boys are thinking about all kinds of things. In a time when we have the potency to affect how Hashem behaves in regard to us. But not any tefillah works. Tefillah needs kavana, intent. It needs direction. It needs purity. Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, Shinaim she'alu lamita. Two people, lo aleinu, got sick. V'cholyan shaveh. And they both had the same serious illness. It's terminal. V'chein shayim shulet gadom nidon. And two people were sent up to the gallows to be hung. V'dinam shaveh, death penalty. Ze yarad, ze lo yarad. One got out of bed healthy, and one lo aleinu. One came down from the gallows, and one bar minan. This one was saved, that one wasn't. So ask Rabbi Meir, Mipinim Azeh Yarad, Vizeh Lo Yarad. Why did one come down and one no? Zeh Nitzal, Vizeh Lo Nitzal. This was saved and that wasn't. Zeh Hitpalel Dina'ana. The one who was successful in escaping prayed and was answered. Zeh Hitpalel Vizeh Lo Na'ana. The other one who didn't make it also prayed. Not one prayed and one didn't. One prayed, the other prayed. Disease the same. Verdict the same. Punishment the same. One prayed and escaped. One prayed and didn't. Because one prayed and one was answered and one wasn't. Ask Rabbi Meir, Mipenema, Zena, Anab, Zelona. Okay, I got the answer. One was answered, one wasn't. How come? What's the diff? Zeh paler tefillah shenema. This one prayed a perfect prayer, Na'ana, and was answered. This one prayed a prayer that wasn't complete, it was defective. Lo Ne'ana. Rashi on that Gemara says, what's Tefillah Shelema? What's a perfect prayer? Kavana. Knowing how to think during prayer. Says the Magid, from this Gemara we see Kavanah is not an option. Kavanah is not icing on a cake. Kavanah is a matter of life and death. That's what the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah is telling us. And not in any other Masechet. In the Masechet that's speaking on the page of Agadah about prayers and success and Lo Aleinu failure on Rosh Hashanah's judgment, Daf Yud Chet. They both had the opportunity to be saved, to be healed, to get better. And they were both already after the verdict. Because it said, Dinan Shaveh, the deen was finished. But the difference was one prayed with Kavanah, and the one who prayed with Kavanah escaped. Things changed. The door unlocked, and he walked out. He wasn't the same person after the Tefillah as the one before in Hashem's eyes. And that's all that counts. Not the neighbors, not the goyim, not the newspapers, not the videos. It's Hashem's eyes. In Hashem's eyes, the person changed. So we see that if a person prays from the depths of the heart, it can change a death sentence into life. So the next question is, as all hands go up, what kavanah should I have? Tell me. I want to have kavanah. If that's the secret, give it to me. I'm not going to say that. But believing in the power of prayer is something you must, otherwise, who are you sketching, we say. But the focus, by the way, any Agadah in Shas has many explanations, because Agadah leaves room for interpretation of every word, and Chazal was smart enough to put more than one lesson in a piece of Agadah. The point I'm pointing to now is that, based on what the Magid is telling us, his interpretation is the difference with Kavanah. She says, so, that's the point. Shlomo HaMelech, smart guy. Smart man. I don't mean guy, like a guy on the street. Smart man. Wisest man who ever lived. Wisest man who ever lived. B'givon ira Hashem el Shlomo b'chalom alayla. Nelachem, you learned, you didn't learn. It's great stuff. Shlomo is dreaming, not like us in the daytime, at night. Chalom Laila made sure to tell us he wasn't daydreaming. He was dreaming at night. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem talks to him in a dream. Sha'al, ma iten lach? Any request you ask, I will grant you. Natata la'adacha lev shomea l'shpot et amecha. Please give me the wisdom to judge your people properly. Lavin ben tov lera, to see the difference between good and bad and understand. The task is too great for the normal human being with a normal brain. Even with a commuter with Pentium 4. You can't do it. It's too much to handle. Hashem liked his request. Because he asked for this. Hashem told him, since you asked something, wisdom for the benefit of the people, I'm going to give you what you want. V'gam, asher lo sha'alta, what you didn't ask for, natati lecha. I'm going to give you what you asked for, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for, osher gam kavod. Wealth and honor. Okay. I'm in a group of fine people. We all are idealists in this place. This is not my regular crowd. I have a group of idealists here. I'm very proud of you, as you constantly hear from me. People with ideals. I want to be better. I want to grow. I want to become somebody. Somebody in the eyes of Hashem, that's a great person. No, I don't have to be, I want to be a great person. I want to do the most with my life. That's idealism. And I'm sure when you get up to Sully, to pray, to daven, whatever you call it, that you get up and you're concentrating all the finer things in life. I want to get married. I want to raise a family of Torah Jews. I want to help my husband learn. I want all the great things that you want, Hashem. That's what I want. Right? Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, I'll stop here. Okay, you're agreeing with me. So when you pray that, why are you so different than Shlomo HaMelech? And Hashem instantly on the spot says, now am I going to give you that? I'm going to give you more.
Because we're suspicious people. Imagine you're a good person. And I allow you to go into the king's vaults. And I tell you, you can take whatever you like. You can leave without a little jewelry. I mean, the wedding's coming, I need some jewelry. For the holidays, I have a good intent. It's L'shem Shamayim. You're supposed to wear finery. One of the laws you'll tell your future husbands, and those who have husbands, you can tell them now, is the man is required to buy his wife jewelry and fine clothing for Yom Tov. It's a halakha! Now you know it already, yeah, see? Not a fruit basket. Jewelry and fine clothing, fruit basket's extra. So it seems to be that if a person was asked on a regular day, what do you want out of life, if you could have anything you want, and you're sitting in a group of observant, religious, idealistic people, they'll tell you, I want Torah and Yirat Shamayim. Well, I'll give out papers now. Everybody write the same thing. I want a good husband. I want him learning. I want to raise children that are tamid chachamim. I want. And everything will sound like it. I won't see one Lexus. I won't see one intercession trip. I won't see a trip to Europe to buy fashions in the spring. I won't see that on your papers. Because what you really want is to grow. At least the ones I know here, that's what they tell me. But the question is, in the depths of your heart, is that all you want? Or is it all right if it comes along with little punasa? If my husband happens to have money, it's okay too. We'll have some nice furniture. We'll decorate. We'll make a guest room for all the rabbis from Yerushalayim who stay in my house. And we'll have nice furniture to have a Shabbat table that we can have guests. So you ask for the Yirat Shamayim, you ask for the Torah, and in the background, you know, when they make cartoons, they put a little balloon above the head, what the person is thinking. You're thinking, but a little money would be nice too. It's not so bad. Anyhow, if you ask me, Hashem, I ain't against it. And in front of Hashem, He not only sees what you're saying, He not only hears what you're saying, He sees and hears what you're thinking. In fact, He sees and hears your subconscious thoughts. The depths, the kirot of the lid. He sees and hears them. And that's a problem. He tells Shlomo HaMelech, you, I see you have lev shomea. You want to have only thoughts of wisdom for the sake of the people. So he's answered on the spot. But with us, the Rebbe from Kotsk, very sharp wit, very sharp mind. A man comes to me, now he had people lined up, you couldn't get an appointment. A man comes to see him, he has a problem. Comes in to see the Rebbe. He tells him, listen, my daughter needs an operation, Lalenu. Should I do it? The Rebbe says, it seems like she shouldn't do it. He says, but you know, she's weak, and I asked the doctors, and my daughter, who's very smart, she's a very smart girl, she says she thinks we should do it. What should I do? The Rebbe says, I don't think you should do it. So he comes, and he says, not only is my daughter a very smart girl, she went to medical school, and she checked on the internet. She checked all the medical opinions, and she thinks in her condition, it pays to do the operation. And so back and forth, no matter how many times the Rebbe tells him, I don't think he should do it, the man keeps adding pratim details as to why he believes maybe the Rebbe should reconsider and tell him to do it. In the end, the man gets up to leave. When he gets up, the Rebbe says, no. Are you going to listen to me? He tells the Rebbe, I got to think about it. And then I'll decide. And he left. The Rabbanit is listening. The Rebbe's wife can't believe, first of all, the guy had a vikuah, an argument, so to speak, a back and forth with the Rebbe. Everybody comes, get the Rebbe's blessing, and do what he says. You don't fly to Canada and pay money and ask the Rebbe the question, go home, do what you want. You don't fly to Israel and get an appointment with Rav Chaim, and he tells you something, you go home, do what you want. So she was a little shocked. But she was even more shocked. She said, Rebbe, the biggest people come to you. You give them 1 minute. They come and ask a question, you answer, and you make them leave. This man was here for 25 minutes. Why? Why did you devote so much time to him? The answer was, Rabbanit. Every point this man said was said in truth. He does have a daughter. She is sick. She is smart. She had an opinion based on medicine that she should do it. And every other little thing he said was true. If a man comes with a met on his mouth, truth on his mouth, and truth in his heart, how can I not spend time with him? All the other people who come, they tell me one thing, they're thinking another, so I answer them and hope they'll listen. They come to trick me. They tell me they want Yirat Shamayim, they want money. They turn around and they want wealth. In the back of everything, kesef, kesef, kesef. And here we have a principle. If anybody asks, how come we prayed and we weren't answered? Well, let's not do it to ourselves. How come they prayed so hard and they were not answered? Ki ata Hashem Elokim emet. Udvarcha malkenu emet v'kayam la'at. You are the God who is truth. And your words are truth forever, our King. In Shamayim, they don't understand every language. Kavyachol, so to speak. They understand the truth. They see the truth. They hear the truth. They understand the truth. So if a person stands and prays and says one thing, but consciously or subconsciously means another, Shamayim only hears the truth. So if a person says, I want Yirat Shamayim, I want a husband to Tamid Chacham, but I also want money, Shamayim may not answer. In fact, there's a story about another Rebbe, famous Talmid Chacham. Someone came to him for a sigula. You should know the sigula because it's about Yamim Noraim, which is coming up in less than 12 days. Mi shemichavem b'kedusha shamim toramim. When we say kadosh, 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 nakdishach and keter, on Yamim Noraim, if somebody should have kavana at that point, it's a sigula for parnasa. Yamim Noraim, kedusha, have kavana, it's a sigula for parnasa. It's a sigula for ashirut, not regular panasa, for wealth. So this chassid, he comes to the Rebbe, he tells him, Rebbe, you taught us sigula, this sigula, once to Udash Hashit, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I've been through 4 or 5 times, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, I've had kavanah every time. I'm still broke. What kind of sigula is that? The Rebbe told him, Emet hi shezo sigula. It's true, this is a sigula. Aval ha-sigula hu lemi shemichaven rak b'kedusha al ha-parnasa. It's put in the kedusha if the person wants ha-parnasa with kedusha. But if in the rest of the tefillah the person is thinking about money and wealth and kavod and other things, if your tefillah is completely kesef, 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 and you can't focus your desire for a good parnasah, even wealth, just in the kiddusha, you can't focus on it and take it out of your mind and the rest of the tefillah, the sigula doesn't work. Gemara Berachot. Art Scrollers, page 6. Amar le Rav Nachman Rabbi Biba Rabbi Amir Rabbi Biba Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. My kerum zelut in the Adam is a very difficult pasuk in the beginning of Tehillim. Sunday's version, first few perakim. Kerum zelut in the Adam. Gemara asks, what does that mean? Amar le, he answers him, Elu devarim shadim b'rumos shel olam. Ubnei Adam zazelim b'hem. It's a thing that same as the loftiest places of Hashem's creation, and people in Mizalzel, they belittle, they degradate these things, they degrade them. Now she opens her eyes to what that means. What is the thing that in the highest atmospheres of the creation? Tefillah. She'oleh lemala. So where do we see people in Mizalzel and Tefillah? We see people shekeling away, they're shaking. We see people closing their eyes. We see people raising their hands to Shamayim. I don't see people mizazel and tefillah. We see people praying on a minyan. They don't talk now. We're getting better at it. Where's the zuzul and amida? Magid midufa. Kechu emachem devarim, v'shuva ad Hashem. Good advice. The prophet tells us, take with you words, v'shuva ad Hashem, and make teshuva. In other words, take things to heart, and make teshuva. What do? We stand and pray. And if we're lucky, very lucky and very good, and we practice and we work on it, maybe in those 3 to 5 to 6, 7, 8 minutes of Amida, not counting those two, that's 10 minutes. 10 minutes of Amida, we think about the loftiest ideas. Ten billy ben rabina lahavin askil ishmal el mod el amed hashivenu elecha karavenu lavodatecha. We want only beautiful things. We want you to let us grow. We want to be big in your eyes, not for ourselves but for you. And we're praying and we're praying. Sounds good. And I want a husband. If you give me a husband, Ashirei Shamayim, Tamir Chacham, you don't know what kind of family I'm going to build for you, Hashem. 15 children. You're praying. Good. Moshe Shalom Ben Ramav. And I didn't say you had any thought. You did it perfect. This is the prayer of a lifetime. That one that we're all looking for. Says the Magid. What happens right after? Breakfast. Okay, who's got the cream cheese? Who's got the eggs? Who's got the bagels? Thank you very much. Pass it. Oh, you know something? I didn't want waffles today. Why the heck? Waffles too fattening. I'm on a diet. But I put the ice cream on top with the syrup. Please stop. We get involved in breakfast. If it's on beef, dinner. All of a sudden, our belly comes first. Our shidduch is forgotten at least for 5 minutes. I'm hungry. Says the Navi, Kehu imachem divarim. The thoughts and the ideas and the words you spoke in the Amidah, take them with you when you finish. Hold on to them. Kehu, grab it. Grab it. This is what I want, Hashem. I'm not going to give up when they put the Mechshi in front of me. I'm not going to stop thinking about it. I'm going to behave in a way that shows you I mean it. Imagine Rosh Hashanah and Amidah. 1:30, I'm hungry. Yom Tov, I gotta eat. What are we talking about? Life itself. Kiechu imachem divarim means take it with you. That high point you reached in your Amidah, hold on to it. Make it happen. You gotta make it ma'aseh. You gotta live that life to get that life. When Chazal tell us, when Rabbi Akiva used to read Shir HaShirim, when he used to sing Shir HaShirim, Hayu Einav Zolkot Dema'ot, he was crying. Because he knew where it's going. His song to Hashem, where it's going. What does it mean, how far is it going? A person sends a telegram to the White House, an email. I do it all the time. Email to the White House, because they record opinions. And what am I hoping? Maybe this will be the one email George Bush reads. He can't read them all.
His staff passes on attitudes and opinions, but I'm sending an email to the king. I hope he reads it. And in the old days, you can imagine somebody sat down by hand with a quill and he wrote a beautiful igeret to the king requesting something. And this igeret was sent to the palace, and a guy at the door took it and said, okay, I'll deliver it to the king. He walked through, I will hope it gets to the king. And if the king gets it, I hope he has time to read it. And if he has time to read it, I hope he answers me. But I at least hope it gets to the king. Let him know how I feel. Where do your tefillot go? Before the melech. You're sending a telegram to the king. You're sending a letter to Hashem when you pray. You're letting him know what you feel, what you want, what your ideals are. And Rabbi Akiva said, my Shir Hashim is going to Shammai. He's not crying. He realized it. When we pray, and especially on Rosh Hashanah, we're praying if the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, the King of Kings, not a human king. And we're praying to him directly. We don't need to go between. Each one has the opportunity to talk to him. And he says, Imru lefanai malchuyot, kedei shetamlichuni alchem. Stay in front of me. I'm here, I'm listening. You're right in front of me. He's promising you. And Rosh Hashanah is going to be there for you. This is, we accept you as king, and you're standing there smiling at me. He says, Imru lefanai malchuyot. I'm there. We have to pay attention to every word. Ladies, you have a big opportunity. We have 11 and a half days to prepare our tefillot. All it takes is to make him the king. We don't say vidui on Rosh Hashanah. We say you're the king. You have the power. You do what you want. I'm your servant. I want to do what you want me to do. That's the prayer. Not for money. Not for the shidduch. You don't ask for anything. Give me what it takes to do what you want. And I'll do it. Because you're my king. And you know who you're saying in front of? Right in the throne room. He promises you it's lefanai. Don't blow that chance. This is not an email. You don't know if it got there. You're standing in front of him. He's listening to you say, you're my king. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to make you happy. Give me whatever it takes. That was Shlomo's prayer. You made me king. Take care of the people. Give me the wisdom. Take care of the people. And you know what he gave him? He gave him the wisdom, the money, the kavod, and everything that goes along with it. So you hear that song, that if we know how to focus our prayers on Tamlichuni Alechem, Hashem will send us the shidduch, He'll send us the children, He'll send us the parnasah, He'll send us the health, He'll send us the safety, He'll send us the Mashiach, the Sitkenu, the Nehada, Amen. This year, not next year, Amen.